Welcome back to the Meenakheim Show featuring Lenny. War Room Mock Draft version 4. Very excited for this week because we have a first-time guest, someone who I think is maybe one of the most original, divergent. You go out on a limb with some of your rankings, which is why I really wanted to do this exercise with you. It's Chris Sims. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Mina? Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I'm a little crazy at times. Not crazy just for the sake of crazy. You know, I think you know that about me.
Yes.
I get convicted through, you know, my studies, my work, how I've been taught. Not always right. I know in this business, you're not going to always be right and all that. But yeah, I've been taught by some good people, fortunate that way. I study it hard, and sometimes maybe I see it a little different than the rest of the sheep that are out there.
Well, it's your willingness to go out on a limb is my game because we do this every week, and I know I'm going to get different choices with you, which is what's going to make this really interesting. So just to remind folks what we do here, for every pick in the first round, I am going to pick two choices, including trades. So some of them, you have an option to take a player or a trade. I will present it to my guest, who is Chris. And then, Chris, you will choose based on what you would do, not what you're predicting the team will do. So it's
cool.
Not that kind of mock draft. So
great.
Does that make sense? Are you ready to do this?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. So we'll start with pick one. We had a really interesting one last week. I'm not going to put him on the board to go with Caleb Williams. I'm going to put up Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams. You were the Chicago Bears. Chris, what would you do at pick one?
Well, I'm on record here. I'm running to the podium with Caleb Williams, right? I'm a big fan of Caleb Williams. I think he's special. I really am. You know, I look at him, and I like Jaden Daniels. Let me just state that clearly, too, because Jaden Daniels, I think in most drafts that maybe don't have Caleb Williams or, you know, last year I had C.J. Stroud in a tier by himself at number one. You know, other than that kind of draft, maybe – right? I mean, Jaden Daniels is the number one pick in the draft most years, so I certainly don't want to discredit him. But yes, Caleb's got just so many special attributes about him. First off, we know the arm is special, right? Not only just the pure strength, but has every throw in the book, can throw at sidearm, you know, all the different platforms. He's as gifted really in that department as we've ever seen anybody in college football. That's the Mahomes factor. That's where he's brought these young kids to another level, right? His ability, you know, to be consistent as a thrower, I think is the best in the draft. His ability to move and be patient in the pocket is the best, let alone his scrambling and what he does behind the line of scrimmage to buy time, to make throws down the field like we see Mahomes and Josh Allen does. That is a big-time need or skill for the NFL, and he's special there. So, yeah, I'm going Caleb Williams, that first one.
All right. We'll keep it moving because I'm in total agreement with everything you said. We talked about the quarterbacks last week with Daniel Jeremiah. If you guys missed that, got into Caleb and his skill set. I think we all agree. So that's why I'm going to make things a little bit interesting for you at pick two. So
Okay. You
like Daniels. I'm putting him on the board for Washington. Instead of Drake May, now this is not something that has been speculated about at all. It's mostly been about 3, 4, 5. I'm going to put up the Vikings trade for you at pick two. And I'm making it pretty rich. I'm giving you 11 and 23 this year in exchange for two, a future first and two future seconds, maybe a second this year and one. So that's a pretty rich trade. I want you to think about it. You're Washington, holes on this roster. What's your status? Are you tempted by this trade?
I'm definitely tempted. There's no doubt. I mean, well, listen, you know they need a quarterback. You know, I think Jaden Daniels is damn good and special in his own right, right? So he's got that, right? So that's where I'm like, oh, this is a tough one. You've made it tough. But I do look at Washington, right, and we look at it and go, wow, right? There's holes across the team that you'd like to get addressed to, you know, bring up the level of the team. And I think one thing that would be interesting, and I think if you're in the reality of this situation, right, is where do you have the other guys ranked, right? How close are they to Jaden Daniels? That's the thing that would be the ultimate, like, litmus test for actually pulling the trigger on the trade, right? So, like, I would say probably I'm just going to take Jaden Daniels is what I'm going to say. Okay. That's
it's
what
kinda
I'm
It's not like
to
you
do.
Were nervous about
I was
it though.
Thinking about it because you made it rich there. And that certainly was enticing, but here's where I can at least see just for the conversation, right? If you have, let's say a McCarthy, a Michael Penix with a grade that is just slightly below Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. right? Where you go, okay, we like Jaden Daniels best, but these other guys are really close and right next to him, and you get offered that trade, I would probably do it, right? I'm pretty strong on Daniels, like you heard me say, where I go, I think he's the number one pick in most years, right? And they obviously need a quarterback, and I think he's damn special, so I'll go with that. But that one made me think for sure, Mina.
Can I ask you a question about Daniels before we move on, just because I have you? You talked at the top about Caleb and the second reaction ability, which is so coveted and so important in today's NFL.
Right.
Are you at all concerned by the fact that that's not really on Daniels' tape?
Well, a little, right? It's definitely one of the things that his second option is just take off and run, right? Which is a pretty good option for him because he runs like a NFL elite wide receiver, right? But to your point, are there times where I go, oh, wait, I know you can run, but just stay there. Like Neighbors is about to come open for a 20-yard gain. Like just, you know, don't just go 1-2 and run. Or, hey, wait, he's about to come open. Just slide in the pocket and move. Just buy a hair, a half a second, a tenth of a second, right? And now, oh, man, now you're going to have Brian Thomas Jr. deep on like 50-yard post. Those would be things that he can improve, but that's minute. I don't look at that as being too horrible of a thing, but definitely can get better there.
Okay, so the Patriots on the board, Drake May is coming in at 3. You're the Patriots. You have the opportunity to take May, or you can trade down for Vikings package. I took one of the twos off. but it's still, it's still. This is kind of what still is being good speculated about. Yeah, 1.11123, a future first, and
I'm
other
stuff.
I'm
taking that trade. I'm taking you that are. Trade all the way. All the way. I am. Well, for here's one, I think New England's roster is probably in a worse state than Washington's. That would be the first thing I would say. After that, I think the other thing that is I'm not the biggest Drake May guy, right? Drake May, to me, was one of the most disappointing people of the draft so far. And that's not to mean I don't think he can't be good, but I was expecting to turn on and see a guy that I went, ooh, wait, it's close between him and Caleb Williams. That's what I had been built up to believe, led to believe, right? Drake May, to me, was my number 6th-rated quarterback, right? There's things about him where, hey, I love some of his highlight throws and stuff of that, Mina, where you go, wow. But, you know, again, when you unpack a game, you go, wait, there's a great post throw. And then you go, wait, he missed the slant route. He missed the out route. Oh, he completed this one, but the guy had to go to the ground and catch it. Oh, he left the pocket for no reason. To me, Drake May, and I think you're hearing this a little bit slowly but surely, Jerod Mayo referenced it last week at the coaches meeting. He needs work. To me, it's more of like he's a project. He's you want him to be your guy 2-3 years down the road, and that doesn't mean number 3 pick in my eyes.
Hmm. Well, the Vikings are taking him in this situation. You will have a chance to choose twice for New England in this draft because they accepted the trade.
Wow, okay,
I'm going to not do a trade here. I had done some trades at 4, but I'm not going to have anyone moving up for JJ.
Okay.
Cause I want to hear what you think. Arizona at 4. Are you taking Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Neighbors as your wide receiver 1?
I'm taking Malik Neighbors. I am. Yeah. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. I do. But Malik Neighbors to me has everything, right? Malik Neighbors is the guy that one has the type of speed and explosion where, like the top receivers in football, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, A.J. Brown, you can just line them up outside all game and go, wait, if it's one-on-one, just throw to him. And, you know, if we hit him on a slant, he could go for a 70-yard touchdown, or he could just run by somebody and we throw a 70-yard bomb in the air, right? Then you couple that with he's the best route runner in the draft, right? You know, his ability to stick his foot in the ground and run precise routes is really special. So he's got more versatility in the slot in other ways as well. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. To me, there's just not enough separation in his game for me and not enough big time yak, right? You know, like not enough like, hey, catches the ball. Ooh, makes somebody miss up the sidelines for a big gain or splits the defense. I like his size. He's a pretty good route runner. Man, he's awesome with the 50-50 balls. But Neighbors, in my opinion, is really, really damn special and can do it all on the football field.
So Marvin Harrison Jr. stays on the board then for the LA Chargers. This is another, again, last week we did a J.J. McCarthy trade. I'm not going to do it this week. I'm going to put up a choice. I think this is probably the decision that the Chargers will make, not necessarily MHJ, but it's the decision is wide receiver or Alt or trade down, but we're not doing a trade down here. You're choosing between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Joe Alt for the LA Chargers.
Ooh, that's a close one. It's really a close one. You know, there is, of course, as we know, a need for a receiver, right? I'm one, like, here's my assessment. One, I think Jim Harbaugh is taking all, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr., receiver, all that is a Jim Harbaugh move. I do expect him to go all there. It would make me think a little bit here. Right. I think I'd still probably go alt though. I would probably go alt. I know. Wow. I know.
Chargers fans are so mad right now listening.
I know they're so mad. But, you know, when I look at alt, I go, wow. I mean, him, Rashawn Slater, right? The Zion who they drafted out of Boston College in the first round last year. I start to get into, wow, they could have a really special offensive line. You know, that's what Jim Harbaugh wants. You got a quarterback who in the pocket is arguably the best throwing quarterback in football when he's got time to throw and as far as bullseye big time throws. So yeah, I'm going to lean that way. Plus here's my other reasoning for that, Mina. It's not total, just like, I like this player more. They got a big receiver with length that they drafted in the first round last year, right? And Quentin Johnson, to where, you know, I just don't think you need two of those type of guys. Even though Marvin Harrison Jr. is better than him, I get that. You know, it's very similar in the skill set and what they are, and that's where I just don't know if I would love it for the Chargers.
Plus, given how deep the wide receiver draft is, there's opportunity for the Chargers to get one later. Probably it's more likely that they'll find a good wide receiver than they'll find a Joe Alt level tackle.
I agree. Second round, like a guy like Michigan Roman Wilson could be there early in the second round, right? And he can go, whoa, I got Quentin Johnson and Roman Wilson and Joe Walt. Holy cow, this is awesome. And then to your point, yeah, he takes the receiver there. I think you're getting more of a significant drop at tackle with that second round pick to the point you're making. I agree with you there.
Okay, so the Giants are stoked with how this has gone because Harrison Jr. is still on the board. This is where I'm going to throw up J.J. McCarthy. Though,
okay.
For the first time, not a trade option. He has fallen. Wow. It's crazy that we're talking about J.J. McCarthy in that context, but he is available to the New York Giants, who have been obviously pretty open about their desire to upgrade at quarterback, or maybe not open, but everybody knows. What would you do?
I would go Marvin Harrison Jr., right? You know, I like J.J. McCarthy, but Marvin Harrison Jr. here. Well, here's my thought. I mean, one, again, putting myself in their shoes, which I know this isn't all about, I don't think them drafting another quarterback, oh, we got Drew Lock and Daniel Jones, is a Giant type of move, right? It's definitely not a move I would make. I know that, and I know that's the point of this exercise. I look at the New York Giants and go, listen, I understand we can question Daniel Jones, but, like, Daniel Jones is, like, problem 67 for the Giants and what they had last year, right? That would be my big thing. The offensive line, pitiful play. Can't run the ball at all. You saw that Seattle Seahawks Monday night game where he got sacked 11 times. He no joke, got out of 11 other sacks. He should have been sacked like 20-something times in the game, right? They have not produced a conducive environment for any quarterback to succeed. Tyrod Taylor gets in, killed, crashed, out. Everybody gets killed in the New York Giants. So they need other things they got to fix there. That's why I would go Marvin Harrison Jr. I like that combo.
So I'm the Titans. I'm devastated that Joe Alt is off the board because that was my hope and probably is their biggest hope. Odunze is there. Did just pay Calvin Ridley. You got a pretty expensive wide receiver group now. So everybody knows the most glaring need on your roster is tackle. I put up two players, Fuaga at Oregon State, and then I put up Troy Fontenot, who some view as tackle, some view as a guard. perhaps brings extra value because of that positional versatility. So just to remind folks, the Titans pretty much across the board, offensive line, a lot of needs. So you could really go in a lot of directions here. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I like both those guys. They're both safe picks. You mentioned it. You know, Fawad, I always mess his name. The guy from Washington, right? He is an incredible athlete. He, like you said, played tackle, but he can play guard. I think he's probably going to be a better guard for my money.
Okay, so the Falcons, I'm going to put up, actually, I did this. This is actually what happened last time as well. I'm putting up Rome Odunze and Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner, they obviously need pass rush. This has been a problem for them forever. He would be the first defender off the board. Odunze is not a need, but he's so good. Can Terry Fontenot actually take another skill player and just go bombs away on offense and invest on that side of the ball? What would you do?
I would go with the pass rusher and Turner for sure. Yeah. I really like Turner, right? I mean, like his potential is through the roof. It's Von Miller-ish with like the athletic attributes he has, right? Freaky strength for somebody who's 247 pounds. And I think he's kind of raw still too, to where he doesn't have many tools to lean on yet. He's just doing it with pure ability, which I like. But you know, the Falcons, like you said, you know, the offense, it's a great offensive line, but they got a superstar running back. It's Drake London. It's Kyle Pitts. Let's not forget they got Darnell Mooney, too, who's damn good, right?
Great
so I look at that Dallas Turner thing to be, ooh, that completes them as a team more, and I think it's the proper move. That's what I would do.
Okay, so this is where we're going to get it spicy again. The Bears, I'm leaving Odunze on the board, but ring, 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 it's Brandon Bean on the phone. And they need a wide receiver. I tried to look at this. It's actually hard to project because there's just very few examples of a team making this kind of jump. The last one actually that was pretty comparable was
Mahomes.
Yes, the Bills jumping up to get Patrick Mahomes. Going from I think 1.27 to 1.210 or 1.10. Pardon me. So this is not that far off from there. Or probably it's 28 is. Not 27.
Yeah, 28. All right.
In this draft. Enough. So
yeah.
they threw in a future first, and that's pretty comparable, Chris, for teams making that kind of move.
Right.
So if you're the Bears, you're getting pick 28 this year, a first next year, and that's a Buffalo first, which is not, you know, it might not be that valuable.
Yeah.
And we're throwing in a second round pick this year. So you're getting a chance to double dip there in the second round. You do have a fair amount of needs still. You have a good team. Is this something you would take if you're the Bears, or do you stick and take Odunze?
I think I'm taking it. I'm going to take this one here. Yeah, I am. You know, I think what I like Odunze, right? I'm not as in love with them maybe as the rest of the draft public, right? I'm a big fan of the Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. And what he can do, that's more my cup of tea than maybe Odunze is. But this is, to me, where the Bears getting Keenan Allen in trade are not desperate to have Odunze totally here. And like you said, you know, their team, the Bears are a team I'd go watch out for this year. I would, because you saw they played at the end of the year. They were good. Defense has got talent. You know, they can find a way to add a pass rusher with Montez Sweat, you know, fill in a few holes here and there. And I go, oh, they could surprise people next year, let alone you trade down. You still could get a receiver like you talked about earlier. Might not be as good as Odunze or some of the top ones in the draft, but still get a guy that can round out your roster and your team that way. So I would take that trade. I would do it.
Yeah, the Bears are an interesting team because they're good. But then when I was doing team needs, I was kind of surprised by how many positions I felt like they could address. You know, receiver, offensive tackle, right tackle, or left tackle, rather, they could find someone. Edge, obviously, you alluded to that. Defensive tackle, they could go in. Yeah. So if you have the opportunity, I think, to go late first, 2 seconds in the draft, you could hit a lot of positions. It would be hard, though, to turn down Odunze, but I get it. So he's going, by the way,
Keenan Allen is very Odunze-ish to begin with, right? 100%. That's kind of how I look at it, too, and that's probably what was my determining factor.
So Odunze goes to the Bills, who are thrilled. I'm sure if you're a Bills fan, you're listening to this. That would be a dream for you. The Jets now have an interesting decision. I'm putting Fuaga back on the board. So they obviously, that would be depth year one, because you have Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. But of course, we all know Tyron Smith has not played a full season in quite some time. You're all in on this season. So do you go Fuaga or do you take Brock Bowers? This is the first time I'm putting Brock Bowers on the board, who can play immediately.
Yeah, no, Bowers is definitely interesting. Bowers is definitely somebody you think that Jets at 10 is kind of where the door opens in that conversation for him. You know, like you said, it's kind of they got the Jets roster is phenomenal. There's no excuses in New York this year. I mean, there's no excuses. I know if they get injured and whatever else, and hey, listen, we'll talk about it then. But you look at their football team and just what do you really – it's wow. I mean, running backs are awesome. It's Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Receivers are pretty good, right? O-line, as it is right now, it's not bad. The defense is special. I think in the big picture of things, I'd probably still – I'm going to go with the Fuaga here. I'm going to go with Fuaga. I think it's not only – the right move big picture-wise, but also, Morgan, to something you alluded to, like it's two older tackles who have injury history here as of late, to where I don't know if you just want to put all your, you know, eggs in one basket to go, well, yeah Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, they'll be healthy this year. This will work no matter what. You can't that. So not only do I think it's a good future move, you know, I think it's a good insurance move for this year, let alone you could probably – place him maybe at one of the guard spots or something like that and let him play there. But yeah, I would probably go the tackle there. But the Jets also a trade down candidate. I think you would agree with that. I could see them doing that.
Yeah, I think it's the right move because you're kind of straddling both the present and the future by taking a tackle, because more likely or not, that tackle is going to play. So
yeah.
I would do that too. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Bowers falls. I am not mocking him. So we're back at 11 now. We're moving quickly. We're in New England, because you remember, this is the big trade. New England is picking at 11. Some interesting directions that they could go in. I'm going to give you... I would not put this up for everyone, but I'm putting up because I know you love him. Brian Thomas Jr. on the board at 11, which would be early for him. And then I'm putting up Olufoshinu, left tackle, obviously a very serious need on this New England roster.
Like, serious need, right? I love Brian Thomas Jr., right? Like him more than Marvin Harrison Jr. That's how much I like
That's
him.
That's crazy.
I know.
You're so wild for that, but okay.
Yeah, because I look at Brian Thomas Jr. and go, that's A.J. Brown. And I look at Marvin Harrison Jr. and go, that's Michael Thomas, right, for the Saints. Where I go, hey, that's good. I like that. But I like touchdowns. Michael Thomas will get you first downs. That's kind of how I look at it. Right, so – man, I love the player, but I can't let that bias overtake me right now. They need a guy like Thomas Jr. I'm going to go with Olu because of the they need a tackle. They got some good guard play, but they got no proven commodity really at tackle. They got, you know, Okafor, right, who they got in free agency this year. But he's not a long-term answer. Trent Brown's gone. I think tackle's the right move for them.
Okay, so at 12, the Broncos are absolutely thrilled because J.J. McCarthy is still on the board for them. I haven't seen your quarterback rankings, so I don't know if you have him behind any. So, is he your QB4? Or?
No, he's actually, he's my QB5, really. But so here it is. I went 1, Caleb Williams in a tier of his own, 2, Jaden Daniels in a tier of his own. And then I went Bo Nix, Penix, and J.J. McCarthy in another tier. And I said, listen, it's really like as close as could possibly be right there. Right. So okay. I like J.J. And that was one of the things I tried to state on my podcast. This is different than most years. Most years when I do my quarterback rankings, guy 3, 4, and 5, I'm kind of like, OK, I mean, I got to make a ranking, so I'll put him there. But this guy's not that special. This is a year where, like, all 5 can play, all 5 are legit, and, like, all 5 are big-time starting quarterbacks, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I'll let you choose then. You're the Broncos. Are you going to take JJ or are you going to take Penix Jr.?
Oh, man. I'm probably going to take Penix, right? I'm probably going to go Penix. Yeah. I love Penix.
Yeah. Sean Payton would never do this.
Probably not. I feel like.
But it's you. It's not Sean Payton. You're making a choice for you.
And honestly, I've said from the start, I always like, man, Sean Payton's going to love Bo Nix, right? Because he, to me, has a lot of Drew Brees-ish in him and how he plays and the way he throws, very accurate, gets the ball out of his hands, right? But for me, yes, Penix is such a pure thrower of the football. He's awesome in the pocket. He's a better athlete, as people are seeing, than he gets credit for. It's a little like C.J. Stroud last year. Maybe not quite that aggressive, but I'm like, wait, there's plenty of plays of him moving and setting up in the pocket or getting out of the pocket and running for a first down. Yeah, it's a close one there. Again, I really like J.J. McCarthy, but I'm just a little bit more of a fan of Michael Penix.
Interesting. You know, in some ways, it's not a bad fit for their – I know he's – I don't think he is Sean Payton's flavor, but
– I hear you.
When you think about an offense with a decent offensive line, a lot of play action, which you saw Penix excel in at UW, Cortland Sutton downfield, deep outside the numbers where Penix likes to throw. Other thing I like about it is, as a Penix spot, I don't think it's going to happen, but is I think Penix should play immediately, and this would be a spot where a quarterback would play immediately.
I think so too. Penix has played a lot. He's ready to go right now. Right. And he's a natural thrower of the football, to your point. And then I think that is ready right now.
Another place that needs a quarterback immediately is the Raiders. So we're leaving JJ McCarthy on the board. And I'm going to, instead of putting up a quarterback, I'm going to throw up Terrion Arnold, who is my CB1 in this. Oh, are you running?
I'm running to the podium to give JJ McCarthy in because that, JJ, definitely the pick there all the way. I like Terrion Arnold. I'm not as high on them as the rest of the world either, but they need a quarterback. They need a beacon of hope, what I always call. They need something they can look at for the future and go, hey, we got our quarterback. Let's build around that and go. They don't have that there right now. They're in Las Vegas. They're new to Las Vegas. I think that makes the most sense there.
Okay, so next up we got the Saints. This team has changed a lot with the announcement or the news that Ryan Ramczyk might be out. So we are going to put a offensive tackle up on the board. This is kind of a interesting one. I don't know how but I'm also going to throw up a defensive player. So I put up Amarius Mims out of Georgia, who is offensive tackle, didn't play a lot of football, but played very well. And then I threw up Byron Murphy Jr. I think the Saints, both sides, trenches, you could go on either side of the football. What are you going to do?
Ooh, it's a tough one. I'm not done with all my D tackles, right? I got a little feel for them. I'm a big Amarius Mims fan, right? You know, the Ramczyk news, Andrus Pete, all that. I think I'm going to go Amarius Mims there.
I think it's the right call.
You know, their defense has been – it's been good. They need some young, infused talent. There's no doubt about that. I do look at it and go, you know, they did draft Brzee, right, late in the first or early second last year from Clemson, a D-tackle. I think this is the right route. Mims is ready as far as a pass protector right now. He can be really special.
Okay, I think I know what you're going to do here. I'm going to give you two, I think, really interesting.
Oh, good. You're going to shake it up a little.
I am shaking it up because everyone keeps giving the Colts a corner. They obviously need a corner. All of our corners are still on the board. I, however, am like, wait a second. Are we going to let Anthony Richardson, our young quarterback, not upgrade with his skill players? So I am putting both Thomas Jr. and Bowers, who is still available. Wow. I think these are both amazing choices for Indianapolis. Who would you go with?
Ooh, they are amazing choices. I'm going to go with Thomas Jr. there. I am. To me, Thomas Jr., you know, you heard me say it already. You got that quarterback. You can get a formula going together there that's very Philadelphia-like, right? Where, oh, wait, we're pretty good up front. We can run the ball. Ooh, our quarterback can run the ball. Oh, wait, you're going to stop that? You're going to leave it one-on-one outside? Oh, and I just told you, Brian Thomas Jr. reminds me a lot of A.J. Brown. So I think that would take that offense to the next level. And, you know, too, sometimes with them, they got Gus Bradley. They play that Seattle 3 defense. I don't know if, like, outside corner, and I know you were going to bring that up and you didn't put that. I don't know if that's something I look at that is, like, a big-time necessity with them because they just don't play a ton of man-to-man. They're a zone corner type of team.
Yeah, they would be a great DeGene destination.
Bowers certainly is, like, you know, definitely interesting there too. There's no doubt about that.
He's interesting on so many teams, but when you do this, he just keeps falling because position. And I am not mocking him to the Seahawks, although it's an option they could go with. I am giving you two defensive players instead. Murphy Jr., who has been associated with the Seahawks a lot. You know, they do have Draymond Jones and Leo Williams at defensive tackle. And then I'm going to throw up Latu for the first time. Maybe a little rich for him. I don't know how you have the pass rushers ranked. I'm a huge fan of his game. Edge is a pretty big need for the Seattle Seahawks.
No, I'm going to Latu, although I'm a big Latu fan. Actually, I mean, I honestly think Latu's film, right, is really better than Turner out of Alabama. Turner just has some of the traits and things and some special attributes that NFL people like.
Athleticism.
Right. But yeah, Latu is a damn good player. I don't think that's too high for Latu at all. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if he surprised people and went off the board even a few spots before that. I think he's got some legit talent. I see him and go, wait, he looks like Jalen Phillips from Miami, right? Who I think is one of the best pass rushers in football. I know he got hurt last year. And tore his Achilles or ACL, I can't remember, but that's who he reminds me of. And yeah, you said it. They got some guys inside. They need the guy outside.
Yeah, Latu. I mentioned this in an interview yesterday. Right after the combine, when I started watching the quarterbacks, I was watching Caleb Williams. And when I got to the UCL game, I had to like say, okay, I'm going to take a break from the quarterbacks and I'm just going to watch Latu now because that game is one of the most unbelievable performance.
Dominant.
And that offensive line sucks. I understand that.
Right. But it's still, you're right.
The moves, unreal. Yeah. Okay. So I love that. I think he can play immediately too. So Jacksonville, I'm going to give you so I have needs, wide receiver, corner, offensive line. I'm going to do put both corners on the board here, Mitchell and Terrion Arnold. And you can tell me, how you feel about them?
Yeah, I'm definitely going Mitchell here. Mitchell, to me, is in the conversation for the best defensive player in the draft, right? Terrion Arnold is a 4-5 nickel corner. Alabama likes to play man-to-man. They didn't even play man-to-man this year because they don't trust those two corners to play man-to-man. You know, I think Terrion Arnold is a really good player. I'd want him on my team, right? So I want to state that. But I think he's vastly overrated with people trying to put him in the top 20 or top 22, right? Again, when we talk about the best corners in football throughout history, they don't run 4-5. I can just tell you that. How can you cover Ja'Marr Chase who runs 4-3 flat and he knows where he's going and you run 4-5 and you don't know where you're going? The greatest corners of all time, the Revises, the Champ Baileys, the Darrell, you know, Darrell Revis, Darryl Green, Deion Sanders, right? Aqib Talib. It's 4-3. It's 4-2. It's that kind of guy. That's who you got to be. And Mitchell is an island shutdown man-to-man corner where I look at Terrion Arnold and go, no, he's a nickel that's a good football player that is not going to be a guy you can trust against the NFL elite at wide receiver.
Yeah, and Mitchell, ball skills.
He
gets his hands on the football.
Right. Yes,
okay, I'm stoked if I'm the Bengals because I have opportunity to get the best players at their position, probably at two very obvious areas of need. Bowers is back. And then we are putting up Byron Murphy Jr. because defensive tackle is also a need. It's less sexy. What are you going to do?
Yeah, this takes some thinking here. You're making me pull up the team here right now. I got to, like, look a little. This
Gesicki?
One's a close one.
They signed
one.
Gesicki, I think, as a tight end, right?
Yeah, you're right. They got Gesicki. They signed Tanner Hudson, and they re-signed Drew Sample, right? So none of them are Brock Bowers for sure. Woo. I'm going to go Murphy Jr.
No!
It's crazy, right? It's like we keep saying, I like Bowers a lot. I like him a lot. But, you know, Bengals are in a spot of they got to start thinking about, you know, youth on the defensive line, right? Hendrickson got him, right? They just lost DJ Reader. BJ Hill's the other tackle, right? I know they got Carter from Florida in there who's going to play and do some stuff there too. But you're playing in the AFC North and the Ravens, right? And the Cleveland Browns with that offensive line when it's healthy and all that. You need a D tackle. So that's where I'm going to go with my man from Texas, Hook 'em Horns.
Okay. Sean McVay is stoked because Brock Bowers is still available for his Rams. However, they obviously have a very Aaron Donald-sized hole on the defensive line. You have Kobe Turner, who was excellent last year. But I'm going to put up Johnny Newton for the first time here, the Illinois defensive tackle, who's a player I absolutely adore. So what are you going to do if you're the Rams?
Damn, this is crazy. I think I'm going to go with Newton.
This is what happens, Chris. Every draft, Bowers keeps falling.
It's funny, right? I know. This is what teams do, these exercises right here, like kind of what we're doing, because it helps them to think, wait, who could realistically fall to us, right, in that position? But I guess what I look at is going, they got, you know, Hunter Higbee, right? They're already.
Or Tyler Higbee, yeah. Yeah.
Tyler, yeah, exactly right. Sorry.
There's a lot of
Hunter Henry and Tyler Higbee. I'm getting them mixed up. And then Colby Parkinson there, too.
Yes, from Seattle,
Who's more of a, you know, maybe a blocking tight end and all that, too. But yeah, I think that's where they got to address that void. And if there was a problem with the Rams team last year, it certainly wasn't pass catching options, right? They were okay in that department. Their D-line lacked eliteness other than Aaron Donald. So I think that's where you go there.
Okay. Well, the Bowers is not a target for the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20. They do need a receiver, but I don't like the value at 20 with any of the wide receivers. So I'm going in a different direction. Two players we have not seen. J.C. Latham out of Alabama. I think offensive line is something they could address. And then I'm going to put up Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. I think cornerback is another direction that Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. I love Nate Wiggins. I do. I love J.C. Latham. I think that's where you go. I'm going to go J.C. Latham there, right? Wiggins I like. I just don't like him to the capacity of Latham. You know, they drafted a corner high last year in Joey Porter Jr. I look at the O-line and go, you know, a player like that coupled with the kid out of Georgia last year, they got something special working for Russell Wilson or Justin Fields in the future or whatever. And this could be the first time they can get back to being kind of the old Steelers, dominate the line of scrimmage, you know, and get some one-on-ones on the outside for George Pickens.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and older must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or in Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. West Virginia, visit 1800gambler.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, DC, Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition.
And I have to say, speaking from experience recently, having tried it for the first time in Detroit, it is absolutely delicious. Right now, you can get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Okay, then at 21, we have the Miami Dolphins. I feel like they could go on either side of the ball in the trenches. You go interior defensive line, you lost Christian Wilkins, but offensive line is just such a need for this team. Even with Armstead, Teron Armstead coming back, you know, he has injuries every year, it seems like. You could really go anywhere on the offensive line, which is why I am going to give you 2 offensive linemen to choose from. Graham Barton out of Duke, who a lot of people think is more likely to play on the interior guard, or Jalen Guyton out of Oklahoma. Which of these 2 players would you rather take?
Yeah, this is, you're getting good here, because these are really tough decisions. Like, I mean, that's their most desperate needs, right? Both of them there. I mean, not only, like you said, did they lose Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis left and went to the Colts, I believe, right? So they don't have that guy in the middle. But I think the offensive line thing is too glaring to pass up here. I do. Mm-hmm. I look at the O-line and go, wait, Connor Williams, right? He's nowhere right now. He was a good center for them. They lost Robert Hunt, the guard, to Carolina Panthers. Their left tackle in Teron Armstead is on his last leg, like literally, and has an injury history. They need a guy that's a slam dunk. Wait, we know he can play. He's ready no matter what. And Barton is that guy. Barton can play every position. I think he's best at guard, but he can do it all. He's one of the safer picks in the whole draft.
He is also a guy who I've just been hearing about from people around the NFL really like. He's one I feel like can get drafted.
I think it's like what we just said. I'm not shocked to hear that, because I think it's the safety of it. The ceiling might not be ultra, ultra high, but the floor is really high, and it's still a pretty good high ceiling. And I think it's not only the player is NFL ready right away, but then the versatility of all 5 positions makes, you know, O-line coaches feel warm and cozy.
So the Eagles usually go O-line. They could go O-line. They could go D-line. But the way our draft has shaken out, they really have their choice of corners, which is obviously a need. So I'm actually going to go corner, which I don't know if they'll do, but this is how things have gone with Art. So I'm taking Wiggins off, and I'm putting up DeGene versus Arnold. So this is going to be a big Fangio defense, which is kind of why I mixed it up a little bit at corner.
Yeah.
Who do you think that they'll be more drawn to?
Well, here's the thing right here. You know, they need the secondary, right? I'm not in love with those guys. And sorry, I'm pulling up the team and kind of looking at it a little bit so I can make an educated assessment here on the fly. Like, DeGene, in my opinion, is not a corner. I don't think there's any way he could play corner in the NFL. I think he's totally a safety.
Wow.
Yeah, totally a safety.
Okay.
Lacks some of the movement skills and things you need to be a top-tier corner in the league. I think he's more of a Eric Weddle than he is a corner, right? So that's where I look at that. Arnold, you heard my thoughts on him a little bit as far as, yeah, I don't love him as that shut-down cover corner type of guy. That's not what he is, but he is a good football player. I think I'm going to go with Arnold there. I am. Okay. I trust Arnold to be kind of that nickel safety. He can tackle. He can do everything. He's going to understand Vic Fangio's defenses and everything he does. So I'll take him there.
Wow. Okay.
I know. Not as high on DeGene as a lot of the draft community is. I had a conversation about this with Devin McCourty the other day, right, who works for NBC Sports. Mm-hmm. He came on my podcast. And he was one of the ones where I was like, I left DeGene off my top 5. And I was a little like, oh, I wonder how Devin sees this. I hope he doesn't tell me I'm an idiot or whatever there. And he had a similar thought to me, that he did not think it was, you know, corner type of ability. It's more of a good secondary player with that safety nickel kind of hybrid type of talent?
So we got back to the Patriots at 23. So just as a reminder, you took Olu at 11. So you did address the tackle position. So I'm going to put two pass catchers on the board. I'm putting Bowers back up. Now, tight end is not a, like you would say, wide receiver over tight end for this team, but it's Brock Bowers. So I'm putting him up. And then I'm putting up A.D. Mitchell as wide receiver 4 for the first time. Who would you take if you're a New England Patriots?
Ooh, this is a good one, because I do think, you know, to your point, it's more of like
pass catcher.
Bowers is a better player, but they need the pass catcher. And they got Hunter Henry. They signed Austin Hooper, which I forgot about. I'd probably go A.D. Mitchell here. Ooh. I'd probably, just because of their team, I feel like I would do that. They have nobody at all at the wide receiver position that even remotely scares you. Now, they got a lot of good, a lot of B-plus type of players. Ugh.
Fine. He's fun.
All right.
Yeah. okay, I say that because
I was actually for the first time thinking, you know what? The value of Bowers might be too far. I might go back and change that. But okay, I'm already in. Too late.
It's crazy because Bowers reminds me of a Patriots tight end who is not Rob Gronkowski.
Are you scared to say the name? Aaron Hernandez? What is that? No one can say his name.
Does he not remind you a little bit of him?
Got that for sure.
Way more him than Rob, you know.
I was in New England when Aaron Hernandez was there, right? Aaron Hernandez, the talent was incredible. Like, incredible. Like, as Aaron Hernandez was as quick or quicker than Julian Edelman and Wes Welker. And he was 50 pounds heavier than them. That's how good he was. That's why it's such a shame with all that happened there.
Well, the skills, the route running, the releases, catch radius. Yep. Okay. Well, so the reason I wanted to keep Bowers on is because if I'm Dallas, I am stoked that he is available. But I am also, there is a need on the offensive line. So I'm putting up JPJ, Jackson Bowers Johnson, the center out of Oregon. Is this where Brock Bowers finally goes?
Yeah, I think this is it. You're going Bowers all the way.
How sick would this be?
Yeah, for them? It really would be. You know, they got a good tight end in Ferguson. I do like him a lot. I just think, Bowers, it changes the dynamic of your offense. Not only can you get in two tight end sets like you just brought up with New England, where it's like, wait, they can overpower us in the run game. Oh, no, now they're spread out, and we got big people in there. We can't match up. You know, there's so many, I think, advantages he brings. I like Powers Johnson a lot. I really do. But yeah, I think Bowers is just too valuable at that point where I'd have to pull the trigger for sure.
Okay, we got the Packers, who have a very good roster, but there's some areas that they could add depth, including both corner and edge. So we're putting Wiggins back on the board, and then I'm throwing up for the first time Jared Verse, the pass rusher out of FSU. Who would you take?
I like Verse a lot. It's kind of funny that we're down here on this part of the board here, where I think like Verse, a lot of people put him at 10, 12, whatever. And I think that's a little too, rich for my love there. Gosh, you said it. Their team is damn good, right? They do got Rashawn Gary. They do have Preston Smith. They did draft Lucas Van Ness in the first round last year. They got Clark in the middle. I think I'm going to go, but hold on a second. They got Jair Alexander, and they still got the guy, from Georgia who they drafted in the first round a few years ago.
Stokes,
right. I think I'm going to go Wiggins, though. I'm going to go Wiggins here. I'm still going to go with that. One, Stokes has had injury issues, all of that. Jair Alexander – awesome football player. We know that. We're going to be into year 3 of his new contract. Is he going to start looking for, hey, I want an extension, all of that? I think you can't have enough good corners. A guy like Wiggins has a chance to be, like we talked about with Mitchell earlier, a true man-to-man island lockdown corner. That was a tough one there, though.
This keeps happening, Chris, where Verse and Latu in some drafts keep dropping because – not that many teams need edge, which is why if I'm the Bucks, I am stoked that Verse is still available to me. I'm going to put up backup JPJ, though. Interior offensive line, I think, is also something I could see them addressing.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it, though. But I think it's Verse all the way. Like, yeah. You know, it's they're depleted over there, right? You got Kalajicansi inside. That's cool. You got Vita Vea. That's great, right? But, I mean, hey, their Super Bowl team, we know Shaq Barrett, you know, JPP, what they could do off the edge. Tryon Chayenko's a good player but hasn't turned out to be a star. I think, yeah, Verse, physical, stand-up defensive end, outside linebacker can kind of do it all that way. Yeah, I think it's Verse all the way.
So the Arizona Cardinals need basically every position outside of tight end and offensive tackle and quarterback. We had them sticking and taking Neighbors earlier, so right. There's no trade. So you go in a ton of directions here. I'll put, because I'm curious to see, putting these up, part because I don't know how you have all of these guys ranked. I'm going to put up two corners.
Okay.
I'm going to put back DeJean, I heard you're not too high on, and then I'm going to throw up Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go McKinstry here. Again, I like DeJean, I do, but you know how I kind of look at it, and I elaborate, and I think it's more of a safety type of a player there, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're pretty good at safety with Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson. McKinstry is one of the safer picks of the draft, right? And a really good football player. A lot like I feel like with like Terrion Arnold, where I said, I don't think he can be necessarily a man-to-man shutdown corner, but he's a guy I want on my team that I know can start in my secondary for a long time. So, yeah, I like that because he's got that outside-inside versatility. I think he should be better in the slot than outside.
Okay.
Damn, I don't know how you do it. I'm impressed that you can keep up and figure out who we've done and who you got.
I have a little thing that keeps track of him. I'm going to throw up something kind of unexpected for Chicago. Because Chicago traded, you remember, with so because they traded, they're picking at 28, the Buffalo spot. Chicago, as I alluded to, a lot of directions they could go in. This is kind of odd, but I'm going to throw up wrong player. Sorry. So I haven't seen your wide receiver rankings. Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, or Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. Again, I feel like Chicago could go in so many directions. It's kind of hard.
They definitely could here. They definitely could. I really like Tyler Guyton, right? I do. I don't know if they're desperate at tackle, right, and taking a tackle last year in Darnell Wright. I know they could probably use maybe a – you'd like to go in the perfect world. Hey, can we get another franchise tackle over there, right? But I don't think it's a bad group as far as their starting left
Braxton
tackle.
Jones.
It's Braxton Jones, right? Yeah, I was starting to panic on my – I was remembering
okay.
the right person.
Nobody ever remembers him, yeah.
so yeah, I think this is where I'm going to go with Franklin. I think that's where I'd go there. Now, he's – I don't think you're crazy to have him. That's probably a little too high as far as being rich for where he is. I'd maybe look at him as an early day two type of guy there. But, you know, Keenan Allen, as we know, is getting up there in years. You're looking for the future and all that. Yeah, I think I'd probably do the wide receiver thing there.
Okay, I'm actually going to Lions are interesting because with so many corners have come off the board, which is their obvious biggest area of need.
Right.
So, but I will put DeJean back on, and then I'm actually going to put Guyton up because this team loves offensive line depth. It's a pick that people won't like, but they'll like it when they need it, kind of thing.
Yeah, no, exactly right. I think, I like Guyton a lot. I do, but I look at their O-line, you know, and still go, that's one of the strengths of their football team. DeJean, I think this is where, if you're going to make me choose for them and all that, I'm going to go DeJean. You know, and I agree with you. I think they're one of those teams that's a little bit like, hey, we'll always take another good offensive lineman. I'm Dan Campbell. We're biting kneecaps. But DeJean can be a little bit how you've heard me explain him, right? I don't think he's a top-tier corner, But they had a guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, safety nickel guy, right? He could play in the back end. He can trust him to tackle up at the line of scrimmage. That's where I could see that type of role for him to be there. So I can understand that. And they certainly need, you know, I think I even saw a comment from Dan Campbell today saying they need to address the back end a little bit, the safety position. I think that's where they could, you know, get some value in DeJean.
It's tough because DeJean's, I think, a much better schematic fit for this next team, the Baltimore Ravens, than he is for Detroit, right? Where they play much more man. But because he's gone, I don't love any of the corners here for Baltimore, even though that's an area of need. Offensive line is really a direction that they have
100%.
To go. 100%. So we're leaving Guyton up, and then I'm going to put up Kingsley Suamatia out of BYU, who I think we took for them last time, but Guyton wasn't available.
I'm going Guyton. I'm going Guyton. To me, I mean, I'd be shocked if he was on the board still at this point.
Yeah.
Right? To be that size, that athletic. I mean, there's just not a lot of guys on planet Earth walking around like Guyton is there. And, you know, hold on a second here. I got popped up on my phone here. We're, let's see, the Ravens, like you were talking about, are decimated. Ronnie Stanley, last year of the contract. Morgan Moses, they just traded him away. Zeitler, right, goes to the Detroit Lions. They lose Simpson in free agency. I know they got some guys coming through the ranks that they like, but without a doubt, offensive line has to be addressed.
Same for the Niners are obviously stacked. I think offensive line is the most obvious area that I would see them drafting at, even though they bring back Colton McKivitz. You need depth here. So leaving Suamatia on the board and then adding Jordan Morgan out of Arizona.
Yeah, right. I like Jordan Morgan. You know, that's one I look at. Yeah, Jordan Morgan to me would kind of fit the mold of a guard type of player. And I think he's a guard more than a tackle that Shanahan would like. And he's ultra athletic, right? For that zone system, he asks his offensive line to move so much, right? He's a guy that's got incredible athletic ability. He needs a little technique work and stuff like that. But man, the ability's there. And of course, the size is there to go along with it. So yeah, I'll go there. I think the 49ers need to address that.
Chiefs corner wide receiver. I'm going to give you two receivers because I want to hear who you think would be a better fit for the Chiefs. Putting up Ladd McConkey and Roman Wilson out of Michigan.
Yeah, I'm going Roman Wilson there. I think Roman Wilson got like a little bit more special ability than people realize, right? That's one of the things that for him and J.J. McCarthy, they were in like the least friendly quarterback wide receiver offenses in college football in recent history here. But man, I see when I watch Roman Wilson, I've met him in person. I've seen him in person a little bit. I just look and go, man, he's got some Steve Smith Sr. about him that I see. And he's a guy that I think has the ability to play outside or inside and really be a playmaker that way. So I'm going to go Roman Wilson. I think he'd be a great fit there in Kansas City.
He would catch like 5 crossers a game. It would
easily
be unreal.
Exactly. Really good runner.
One quick bonus pick for the Carolina Panthers. Gave them Ladd McConkey at 33 last week. I'm going to take McConkey off, even though I do think he is a really good fit for what they need. And I'm putting up 2 other players just to get your sense of what direction you'd like to go in. I put up Jalen Polk, who's a player at a UW who I absolutely adore. Amazing hands, so reliable. And then Xavier Leggett, who gives you more of that size and speed out of South Carolina.
I'm going to go Leggett here. Let me think here. They got Thielen, right? And
Deontay Johnson.
And Deontay, that's right. They're more Polkish, right? I mean, they're more route runner, that guy. Leggett can be the guy that can be the playmaker. Hey, throw me a slant. I'll break the tackle and go rockets up my ass. I'm going to go run for a 70-yard touchdown. He can be that guy. That's where I would like that. Oh, hey, we're in the shotgun. He's coming in motion. Deebo Samuel, speed sweep. See you later. He's built like that to be that guy. So he's not like your refined, awesome route runner. It's still pretty good for the thick guy he is, but I think he's a big play weapon specimen. And I think that's something they greatly need in Carolina. So I would love that pick for them.
Yeah, he pairs nicely with Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, like that, right. Who's great route runner, sort of do it all. Yeah.
You saw Johnson and Pickens. Not that he's like Pickens exactly, but it's complimentary.
Right.
That's it. We did it all. Chris, thank you so much. Woo-hoo. This was so fun. You guys, if you're watching this, you should also check out Chris's excellent podcast, Chris Sims Unbuttoned, on YouTube or wherever you get your pods. If you're listening to this, this is on YouTube as well. The final board will be up on YouTube if you want to look. Very different from the previous drafts. So I really appreciate you coming on, Chris, and giving us a little bit of a curveball.
Always, always, Mina. I'm good for curveballs. That's what I'm good for. You explained that already. And always love talking to you, seeing you. I'm a big fan of yours. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.